beginning at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. God, we came here today for you. Today, Lord, is all about you in these moments. We came, Lord, to hear a message from you. Remove any barriers within me, the preacher, with anyone that's listening, so that we might have a connection with the Holy One today, Lord, that we might hear your voice. We ask in faith and in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue a series on the book of James, this epistle, this letter written to the early church, to believers, to people of faith. And we're going through James in the month of September, and James sort of outlines the marks of a Christian, the marks of a believer. And we're looking at one each week as we go through the different chapters and their godly action. And godly hospitality, showing love and hospitality. And last week we talked about godly words, using words that bless and not harm. And today is wisdom. The mark of a believer is godly wisdom at work in their lives. And wisdom is different than knowledge. We live in an age of knowledge. You may know my husband and I, Deans, we have three mature, older daughters, grown-up daughters. We also just celebrated our 30th anniversary. Praise the Lord, yes. We had a great time off and enjoyed celebrating 30 years together. But we raised three daughters, and we were joking as the family was together recently. We were teasing our oldest daughter, her name's Elora, because at growing up, her sisters, and maybe this happens in every family, the older one sort of like knows it all and always is telling the younger ones different facts and information. And Laura, when she was a kid, she was kind of a know-it-all. And they teased her. I think today she still would admit she's kind of a know-it-all. She's just always been really bright and smart, and she has a good memory, and she can remember facts and data and figures. And what was really funny, though, is even when she didn't know for sure, she was convincing. She could convince you that this was right. That said, yeah, that's what it is. And she would say things like, she'd walk down the street and say, look at that cloud. That is a cumulonimbus cloud. And her sisters would be like, oh, yeah. She'd say, yeah, the capital of South Dakota is Bismarck, or the 21st president is Chester A. Arthur, and we'd be like, you know, who knows that kind of stuff? Who knows? One time she said, you know the number three in Vietnamese? And she said some Vietnamese word, like Suno. And we're like, well, whatever. At the dinner table, she said, you know there are five actors that played Batman, and she named them all. And we're like, I don't know if that's really true. I texted my daughters yesterday and I said, tell me something that you believed as a child because your older sister said it was true. My phone blew up with text messages. Oh, they really got her on this one, but I chose the top three to share with you. These are the top three my daughter said they believed, and they said they believed this for a long time. Number one was, if the sky is orange in the evening, you have to go inside right away because a tornado is coming. And I was like, the sun is setting, go out and play, you know, it's okay. Number two was, lava lamps have real lava in them. And if you spill any, mama's gonna have to call special people that have come and clean it up, and it's really expensive. And then the number one, this is my personal favorite. She told her younger sisters, beanbag chairs, the little white pellets inside of beanbag chairs, those are really dormant spider eggs. And if you get them wet, spiders will explode all over the house. I always wondered why our youngest daughter, she would not sit on the beanbag chair. Not gonna sit there. So we used to, you know, she would tell us all these facts and data and trivia, and we would kind of say, I don't know if that's really true, Alora, but, you know, we'd say, oh, we'll check that later and see if you're really right. But then one day, everything changed. One day, there was Google. I remember the day when it happened. We're sitting at the dinner table and she said some random fact. And her sisters are like, I don't know if that's really true. And then the littlest daughter, she pulls out her smartphone and she Googles it. And it was wrong. She said, this is the answer. It's actually Grover Cleveland was the 21st president of the United States. I'll tell you, Google changed everything. We don't even remember what it was like before we had Google. Google changed the world. In 1998, the information age hit. And in 1998, in Menlo Park, California, Google started in a friend's garage. In this search engine company, things were never the same. Google ushered in the information age, and what happened? Everything changed for us, because now we have access to all of the knowledge and all of the data and all the trivia you could ever imagine. It's right at our fingertips. And all we have to do is ask. You just ask Google, and Google tells you. Google, how many miles is it to Sri Lanka? Alexa, what's the capital of New Hampshire? What's the temperature gonna be today, Siri? Alexa, what was the score of the Arkansas-Auburn game? Wait, shh. Alexa, cancel. Sometimes we don't wanna know that kind of information. The information age hit in the last 20 years and our lives have never quite been the same. Let me give you some interesting statistics about the information age. The internet has 3.8 billion users worldwide. Internet usage increased 42% in the last 3 years. Now this really blew my mind. Every 60 seconds in 2018, every minute, 18 million text messages are sent. Some of them are going right now. So you're texting. 973,000 people check Facebook every minute. 187 million emails are sent. And every minute, 3.7 million people look up something on Google. That's amazing. Our cars are really smart. Our cars have a lot of information. I just got a new car. My car is so much smarter than I am. My car knows everything. My car tells me how to get places. It tells me what song's playing on the radio. My car, they tell me that my car can parallel park itself, my Ford. I am terrified to try that. Maybe I'll pull up next to you and I will see if my parallel parking app works. My car tells me when it's getting low on gasoline or low on oil, and then my car even shows me the closest gas stations and what price the gas is. That's crazy. So my husband Deans and I, when we travel, we like to listen to Sirius satellite radio. And when we're bored, we play this game in the car, and we like to listen to 80s on 8. I know, we're from the 1980s. We were in high school in the 80s, and college in the 80s, we met in the 80s. So we know a lot of the 1980s songs. And we play this game when we're bored driving the car. So when a 1980s song comes on, whoever can guess the band the fastest wins. And we keep score. I mean, it's very competitive in my family, so we're keeping score, and we're driving down the road, and so the songs are coming on, and my husband's really, he's really good at this. I've got to give him a lot of credit. He's listened to a lot of music in the 80s, and he's a really good memory for names of bands and things, so he's just shouting them out. He's like, okay, U2, Depeche Mode, The Cure, and I'm getting really angry because I'm not getting anything right. Like, I just kept saying Asia, and it never was. And I'm starting to get kind of frustrated with him because, like, in three notes, he's guessing the songs. And then he starts guessing, like, really obscure ones quickly, like Dexy's Midnight Runners, like Bow Wow Wow, Aha, Taco. I mean, we had some really stupid names for bands in the 1980s, let's just face it. So I'm getting suspicious how he's getting all these right. And then I realize, like in the middle of the car, I can see the GPS, the map, but on the driver's side, on his dashboard, he has that little thing that comes up that tells you the name of the songs and the bands. Yeah, he confessed. He was cheating. He's like, just teasing me, Jan. We have so much information available to us. You know, in almost every library in the world now, the books are online. You can access them from anywhere, the National Archives, the Smithsonian, even Harvard and Princeton. When I did my doctoral dissertation, I was amazed to find that I could access John Wesley's original letters that were housed in Oxford on my computer at home. We have all of this knowledge and all of this information available. We live in the information age. We are actually bombarded by information. It's coming at us 24/7. All of this data and knowledge, we just have to, it's right at our fingertips. We can know any amount of trivia or knowledge or information. We are bombarded by information. But the problem is that what we really need is not more information. What we really need is wisdom. What we're longing for in our day, maybe more than any other time in the history of the world, what we really need is wisdom. And we need the wisdom of God. And wisdom is not about being smart or intelligent or having a lot of knowledge or education or even experience. Wisdom comes from God. The book of James is about wisdom. People assume it's about works. It is about works, but if you really get to the heart of the epistle of James, it's about wisdom. And James believes that the most important gift that a believer in Jesus Christ can have is godly wisdom, and that all we need to do is ask for it. And James separates the difference between earthly wisdom that he says is from the devil, is evil, is contrary to God, is of this world. He contrasts that with heavenly wisdom, with godly wisdom. That these things are in competition with each other in the life and the heart of the believer. So let's look at these two types of wisdom individually. What does James say about earthly wisdom? Let's look at James 3, verses 14 and 16 through 16. It says, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." Earthly wisdom is about the self. It's self-seeking. It's full of envy and jealousy, covetousness. It's inspired by selfish ambition, self-serving desire, self-promotion. We live in an age of self-promotion on the internet. At its root is anger and fighting and quarrels and conflict, the opposite of peace. And what it leads to is disorder and chaos, wickedness and evil. Earthly wisdom makes us self-absorbed, competitive in our workplaces, destructive. It robs us of our self-confidence. It causes us to compare ourselves constantly with others. So who has envy and selfish ambition? We can look out in the world and say, oh yes, I see envy and selfish ambition in the world, on television, maybe in my workplace. But where does James say it resides? Out there for everyone to see? Let's look at verse 14. He says, "If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts." Oh, believers are good at masking envy, jealousy, and selfish ambition. We hide it. We call it other things. We don't name it. But it is the root of many negative things in the life of a believer. So James warns us against the wisdom of this world and encourages us to have heavenly wisdom from God. What does he say? Let's look at verses 17 and 18. "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." True wisdom, according to James, always leads to righteousness and peace, to goodness, not disorder and turmoil. Wisdom is meek and humble, is never proud or boastful. True wisdom always points to God, never to the self. Wisdom is gentle, it's not harsh. You might know a very smart person who's harsh. That's not wisdom. Even when somebody's right all the time, that's not wisdom. The source of wisdom, wise people know, is from God. We cannot create wisdom within ourselves. True wisdom comes from above. And the Bible says that the wisdom of God does not make sense to the world. 1 Corinthians 1:20 says, where is the wise person? Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? The world will look at God's wisdom and think it's foolishness. And God looks at the wisdom of the world and knows it's foolish. Wisdom, says James, results in a good life. Who is wise among you? Let them show it by their good life, verse 13. By deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So according to James, I cannot emphasize enough the gift of wisdom. James underlines it again and again and again. When we have wisdom as believers, we make good decisions. We can avoid trouble. We navigate pitfalls and traps of the evil one. Godly wisdom means that we will not be in the wrong place at the wrong time, that we will not trust the wrong person, Godly wisdom helps us to choose a good thing over a not so good thing, even when it's confusing. And the world tells us otherwise. Wisdom helps us foresee consequences, gives us a sense of foreboding when things aren't right, enables us to enact sound judgment, gives us discernment in making choices. And as much as believers need the knowledge of the Word of God in our lives and our understanding, what we need even more beyond that is the Word of God to reside in our hearts through the Spirit of wisdom. How many of us, looking back at the course of our lives, would not have made some different decisions if only we had had godly wisdom? We need God's wisdom more than ever. And I'm going to especially pray today for those of you who are young adults. Young adults between the age of, let's say, 20 and 35, if that's you today. Or maybe you have someone in your life that's in that age group as a young adult. We need to pray for them, for godly wisdom. Because young adults are making all sorts of decisions about their lives, about their careers and their jobs and their education, about who they're going to marry, if they're going to have a family, and if they already have children, they're trying to establish a strong, sound family and be parents. They're trying to strengthen their marriage. Young adults have so many things that they need us to be praying for them for godly wisdom, because that's going to make the difference. James says, if you have this gift of godly wisdom, everything else in your life will flow out of that. So James tells us two things: seek wisdom and ask for wisdom. So first we seek wisdom. We do that through prayer, asking God directly for wisdom. We do that through reading of scripture, of the Bible. And we do it by asking wise people. James 3:13 says, who is wise and understanding among you? Who do you know in your life that has godly wisdom? That's the person you should be sitting at their feet when you have a decision to make, and get wise counsel. Seek wisdom. But then God also says, ask for the gift of wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. James begins his whole letter with this in James 1:5. He says, if any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. Then he goes on to say, ask in faith, not doubting. God wants to give you the gift of wisdom. It's for the life of the believer. In James 4:4, it says, you do not have because you do not ask God. We're invited to ask God. I have a little group that I meet with, a new room band, they call it. Three of us, we covenant together. We pray for one another. We meet and we support and encourage each other every week, two other clergy women and myself. In one week, one of the women came and she had a concern. She was trying to make a decision. She had a conflictual situation in her workplace. Even though it was a church, it could have been any of our workplaces where people weren't getting along. And she just said, I need wisdom. I don't know what to do. And as is usually my personality, I wanted to offer her advice. Me, senior pastor, I knew how to fix the problem. And I could tell myself, I could feel myself, I was beginning to give her an answer. Like, this is what you should do. But something inside of my heart said, just wait a minute, Jan. And I said, maybe we should just pray about it. Maybe we should ask God for wisdom. And so we prayed together, the three of us. We got on our knees together and we prayed about the situation. And we just asked God to give her wisdom. And in the course of maybe 5 or 10 minutes, she got an answer. I mean, I can't explain it, except that one of the other women had kind of a thought, and And then she, at the same time, had a scripture come to her, and she said, and we ended up, she said, I know what to do. It's something I would have never thought of. And she left with such joy and peace because she knew God had given her an answer, given her some wisdom. God wants to pour out wisdom into your life. Proverbs 1:23 says God wants to pour wisdom into you. And wisdom is a gift. James 1:17 says this is a precious gift that God wants to give you. In the Old Testament, Solomon was offered any gifts that God could give, and he asked for one, the gift of wisdom. And this is what Solomon said. Wisdom of Solomon 7:7. Therefore I prayed, and understanding was given me. I called on God, and the spirit of wisdom came to me. Ask. Will you ask God for wisdom? As I close today, I want to lead us in a time of prayer. And I'm going to invite you to ask God to pour wisdom into your life. I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes. And if you will, just hold your hand. Instead of folding your hands this time, just hold them on your lap with the palms up. If it feels funny, don't worry. Everybody has their eyes closed right now. They can't see your hands with the palms up. But invite, receive what God wants to give you, what the Holy Spirit wants to pour into your life, and ask God for the gift of wisdom. Some of you, you may have a decision to make, and you're not sure what to do. Just ask God for wisdom, godly wisdom. Some of you may have people in your life, maybe adult children or young adults that you care about, and they need godly wisdom. And just pray for them right now that God will give them, that they'll be open to it, the gift of wisdom. And if you're a young adult here today, if you're between 20 and 35, we're all going to pray for you right now. Those young adults in the room, be open, seek, ask God for wisdom. There's so many decisions in your life that are so crucial, and God wants to pour this wisdom into your life. God loves you so very much. God wants to give you this gift. All you need to do is ask, and ask in faith, and God's Spirit will pour out upon you. God, you are the giver of good gifts. God, sometimes we don't know what to ask or how to ask, but we just know we need you. We need you, Lord. This life bombards us with information, with persuasion. Don't let your voice be lost in the midst of that, God. Let us hear your voice. We pray today, Lord. We pray in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered for us, who died for us, who rose from the grave that we might have life eternal, life abundant in his name. Bless us, O Lord. May we feel your presence walk with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all the people said, Amen. As we prepare to go from this place today, I want to let you know that if you want to join as a member of the church,